Over the course of three decades, Leon Evans has been in and out of prison, mostly on charges linked to selling or possessing drugs.
And so I got so pissed off because things wasn't going my way. Life wasn't taking the right direction. So I started selling drugs to make ends meet because I was a convicted felon, wasn't being high, wasn't getting the jobs.
Then last year, a few months before his release from Warhaven Correctional Facility, he read a flyer about a reentry program called Transition House.
So I signed in and I got on my last 90 days. They routed me over here and I got my application approved. And I came straight here from Moorhaven.
Evan says what really interested him was the Home Builders Program.
So I went and I got to the Home Builders Program. About 2 months later, I got my certified in OSHA, Safety, Occupational Health Safety Administration Organization. I got certified in that. I got certified in plumbing, electrical, carpentry, masonry, landscaping, apprenticeship and certification in that. And then I went on and got my certification clearance in the substance abuse program.
Evans also got help applying for a housekeeping job, but he says he's working toward an ultimate goal.
My long-term goal is I want to start my own landscaping and pressure cleaning business, you know, give me two trucks, some machines and some equipment and stuff like that, and do subcontracting and residential, you know, development and beautification. That's my objective.
And Evan says he would never have gotten to this point if it wasn't for the support he got at Transition House. He adds there's a huge bond between those getting help, their peers, and the counselors.
It's a bond here that existed between the clients and stuff that, you know, I say that's amazing because people you don't even know reach out. They help you, they assist you. You need some like bus tickets and stuff like that. You ain't got no bus fare. Everybody step in and chip in and just make it happen. They make it work. You know, that's the main thing. Everybody try to make it work for each other.
But some inmates and former inmates may not get that chance. Transition House is among several reentry and substance abuse programs across the state that lost more than $1 million in funding this year. Florida Department of Corrections officials say they had to do that to make up for more than $50 million budget shortfall. Citing rising health care costs, prison officials also said a bulk of the money would go toward providing health care to all inmates since it's required by law.
First of all, I'd like to reiterate one fact. The cuts that the Florida Department of Corrections are facing are not massive. They have a $2.4 billion budget. And what they're talking about is $30 million for substance abuse and behavioral health treatment at the various different facilities.
That's Thomas Griffin, the CEO of Transition House.
Our facility in Kissimmee is going to be seriously affected by that, you know, with some massive cuts, as well as a reentry program that we have here at the facility in St. Cloud, which is going to be eliminated.
Due to the cuts, many inmates in the middle of their programming, like learning different trades, saving money, and getting drug treatment, had to be bused back to the prisons. And Griffin says moves like that do not help reduce the recidivism rate or the time it takes for someone released from prison to commit a crime and end up back in prison.
Many people, you know, go back to prison multiple times, and that becomes a real cost factor in running a prison system. If we could reduce our recidivism rate from 38% down to 5%, you know, the state would enjoy a substantial savings. The budget would be, you know, severely cut and reduced, as well as, you know, the number of families that are, you know, totally upset and totally torn apart as a result of this, would be restored back to a, you know, a more functioning lifestyle.
Griffin had hoped the governor would step in and use money set aside for emergencies, but Governor Rick Scott did not answer that question when he was asked by reporters months ago. Still, he shares Griffin's worry over how these cuts will affect some of the gains the state has made in crime reduction.
Absolutely. I mean, the reason why I asked for the money is because you go through and look at those programs, they work. You know, we made significant impacts, our investments in reentry programs in the state, and it's worked. If you look at the recidivism rate, the number of people in our prison system, it's gone down, and you can look at the crime rate, and the legislature has to fund those programs.
And St. Petersburg Republican Senator Jeff Brandis agrees, calling the cuts a disaster. He'd even tried to look into some short-term funding solutions.
The challenge we're running into it is there isn't a lot to be done. I proposed a few different ideas. For example, instead of doing a 12-month contract, do a 10-month contract, and then we would backfill the last 2 months when we go back into session. That would at least get us through the process. Or for those vendors who are the providers of transition services, to enter into just a 6-month contract with them, again, to allow us to get back into a legislative session and be able to have the resources to backfill so that we could continue and you would see no drop in service for those few months. But I couldn't get support to do that.
But he says this really speaks to a broader set of issues.
They're really symptomatic of a deeper problem, which is, can Florida really afford 96,000 inmates? Can it really afford to keep them? And if it can't, what is it going to do about them? The simple truth is we have 108 different mandatory minimums. We have an 85% rule that is interpreted by different people to mean different things and doesn't really work for those inmates who have served a decent amount of time, but have been on good behavior, have tried to better themselves, are going to come out and not recidivate and not get back in trouble with the law.
During this past legislative session, a number of Brandis's bills looking to change mandatory minimums, raise felony thresholds, and electronic monitoring died. He says what he hopes is for legislative leaders across the state to step up and support some bold criminal justice reform ideas.
But I think what you're seeing is a movement that's beginning to change in the legislature. People recognize that this is a big issue. And many legislators, they want to, they see this as the ability for them to really make a difference.
Meanwhile, incoming Senate President Bill Galvano says he's expecting to bring this year's funding issue before the legislature during the 2019 legislative session. And as for Leon Evans, he says things are looking up for him. He'll be 60 years old in August. His hope is to get a job, find housing, and continue having the support of his family.
My grandkids, I have 7 grandsons and 5 granddaughters, 3 sons, And the relationship there is outstanding, and the more I stay in contact, the more I'm able to push all that negative out of my life and stuff like that, and just keep myself in an objective state to where I can always wake up and say, Lord, make this day better than yesterday. So that's what's incredible.
For WFSU News, I'm Sasha Kortner.